how many paladins does it take to change a light bulb? Two. One to screw the thing in, and the other to uphold the light! Welcome to Geekly News Desk for the week of March 18th, 2017. I am Simon Atwell, and as always, I'm joined by...
Andrew.
You? you're talking a little quiet.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're whispering at me over there.
I wasn't sure if I wanted to introduce myself as Uther or... myself.
Uther the Lightbringer?
Yeah.
There's gotta be a... No, I guess there isn't another palace. Arthas and Uther.
Yeah.
And I... Oh, there's Lady Liadrin, who's also an elf, but, I mean, that also requires you to be a lady. She's Lady Liadrin.
Leader of the Blood Knights. The guy who got toasted.
Oh, not Velen. Shit. Velen's the leader of the Draenei. He was Vindicator Mirad. Oh, speaking of... Okay. I don't know. This came up a while ago. Vindicator Mirad's nephew, I think. Grona's son. Something like that. This is a character in the WoW comics. He is the biggest Mary Sue. He can use druidic magic, arcane magic, light.
Oh.
And he's the new guardian in the comics. And the WoW game team was like, no. He's not going to our game. This is not happening. Khadgar has the staff. That guy doesn't exist.
Huh.
I don't remember why I was planning on talking with you about this for some odd reason. I don't remember when it was. It might have been on the show, and I might have forgotten about it. About technically some things being canon, some things from the books and comics in WoW being canon, like Logosh and the split personality of Varian and you know, Valyra and all that are all canon. They all showed up first in the comics.
Yeah,
but other things like this guy whose name I forget, who's broken as fuck, not canon.
Probably because. Of that?
Yeah, and there are certain things in the books that are like, I mean...
Yeah.
The WoW canon is iffy. The Chronicles are officially canon, but the other books, like even the Christie Golden books, are like, yeah, sure, as long as nothing in the game. It's kind of like old Star Wars canon, but a little bit better.
Like, I'm not sure which canon takes precedence.
Well, the game, on all things, but besides that, anything is changeable that isn't in the game, basically. Right. It's almost as bad as Star Wars canon used to be. But not quite.
Yeah, that was bad. It was bad times.
It was bad. Because they do have people in Blizzard going, okay, you just can't do that. You're not allowed.
Yeah.
That's a fact. I don't even remember. How did we get onto that? Oh, right. Mirad. Who's, I guess, somehow related to Garona because she's half Draenei.
My Garona.
I think. Although Garona is half whatever she is, changes every so often too. Originally she was half human, and then they decided that made no sense.
Yeah, canon, man. Last time we got stuck on Zelda canon, which is a mess too.
I don't remember where it was reading. I was reading somebody talk about that, and they just had no idea what the fuck they were talking about. I was like, that's not even... Like, I know Zelda canon is confusing, but that's not even remotely right. What the fuck are you smoking?
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It is hard, though.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to Canon Talk. Next, we'll talk about the canons they used in that one, not opera. What is the thing? Musical thing. Long. Big. Not opera, though. I don't remember what it's called.
Is it an actual musical?
No, it's not a musical. It's just it's like a symphony, but it's not. Symphony is the thing that plays it, is the group of music musicians.
Orchestra?
Orchestra is a group of musicians, so symphony, the music?
Yes.
I guess the symphony, then. That yes. It was loud, and they used actual canons to do the whoever wrote the symphony.
Tchaikovsky.
I don't think it was Tchaikovsky, but it could be. I'm actually going to Google, is canon the weapon 1N or 2?
2N is canon.
Canon the story or canon the weapon?
Weapon.
I'm going to look up canon symphony. Thank you, Google, for helping me spell symphony. Oh, it is Tchaikovsky, 1812 Overture.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I thought you were just throwing out the only first name you came up with.
No, it was an educated guess.
It's the 1812 Overture. Yes, that's it.
Yeah, I wanted to say William Tell, but I knew it was wrong.
And so that's your symphony update of the week. I guess we should probably get into what the show's actually about now.
Speaking of updates of the week, man, guys, last week, Samurai Jack came out.
Oh, right. You did say you wanted to talk about this.
I do. I do want to talk about it and how amazing it is. Because it's like, it's new, but it feels like the old show, but it's new.
Wow. It's a rousing review right there.
I love it, and it's a half hour long, and I'm trying not to think about it because I have to wait. And there's not going to be much, and it's real good.
You know, you really should have saved this for TV where we only have one bullet point.
No, I'm bringing it up now.
Well, great.
It's not really news. It's real good. Watch it.
I mean, I have a point of TV that's not real news either.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get the TV, sucker. We're going to go and talk about movies right now with the trailer-heavy thing.
Okay. Maybe I'll bring Samurai Jack back up as it comes up.
You will always bring Samurai Jack up. That's what you do.
It's real good, guys.
All right. Starting the movie, the trailer list here with the one you put in.
Yeah, The Little Mermaid has had a trailer drop hot on the heels of Beauty and the Beast.
Hmm.
But
live-action Disney, why not?
It's totally not Disney. So take that, guys.
Yeah.
Y'all got excited. But it's not. And it's
no,
not it even doesn't even bit. Look good.
No.
There's a link to the trailer.
It's not the worst thing that could have come out.
But it is not the worst.
But it's certainly not made for us.
It's almost like, you know, how Mr. Bull. Uvi Bull.
Something like that. Close enough.
Would, you know, hop on whatever's hot and going and make his
crap.
His garbage movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It kind of seems like that, but at a higher budget.
But less crap.
Yeah. So it's based off the fairy tale?
I suppose.
I guess.
Sort of. It has a mermaid in it.
Yeah,
a
mermaid in it.
Who can sometimes walk on land, so that's a thing.
Mississippi.
Apparently. Yeah, the mermaid of the Mississippi, that's what he says.
Yep.
Although it's made by British people.
It's a very weird trailer. I don't understand what's happening.
Apparently the guy who runs the carnival / circus is a demon. At one point his eyes grow red and he gets all smoky looking.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's actually worth a watch just so you go use. Just because it's weird.
Yeah. But, so take that, Disney.
Now you can't name your movie that's surely going to come out in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
The Little Mermaid.
I wonder what they would call it then.
Oh, they'd probably call it The Little Mermaid and say, fuck you, we're Disney. Yeah. We're going to blow you out of the water.
We will steamroll you.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the important things, okay? Can we move on to the important things now? The real things we're here to talk about?
Yeah. I think this is a TV.
It is TV, so I'm going to move that down there, and then we'll talk about the other thing that's still important.
Good catch, Andrew.
Yeah, good job.
You're on the ball today.
But this, you know, it's not TV. Wonder Woman. Get some spire in it. In this trailer that is totally worth watching, this new Wonder Woman trailer. Unless you absolutely don't want to. There's a little more story, I guess, a little Wonder Woman backstory, kind of.
Which is good.
Yeah.
It's reassuring.
Which is good. It is reassuring.
This trailer is very reassuring.
It is reassuring that there's actually some story in this movie.
There's some humor in it. There's a whole lot of color.
A couple of good humors and a bad humor.
Yeah.
Bad joke. Followed by a good joke, pretty much immediately. Well, followed by an okay joke, pretty much immediately.
But I think it was just recut.
Maybe.
I think there was like a different
part. It's the same scene, though.
Same scene, but I think it's just not recut.
Snap, like that?
Yeah.
Probably. But yeah, no, this Wonder Woman trailer is definitely worth watching. See some little kid Diana.
She's great. Go get that sword. Give me that sword.
Who can wield that sword? Oh, only the fierce, and that's not you. The face just says, bitch, please, I'm going to get that sword.
That sword's mine.
It's pretty great.
I see you. That's the power of the secret.
Okay. We're going back to that now.
Yeah, you should really check out The Secret. It's a really good book, and it's all about... Yeah, I'm not going to stop talking about it.
So anyway, Wonder Woman also spotted in this trailer was Anne Wolfe, a retired boxer.
Mm-hmm.
And so after somebody who got real eagle eyes and is apparently a big fan of Anne Wolfe, because you saw that trailer and I put it out the character it was to you.
Yes.
But you don't really see that person.
No.
She gets a shield thrown at her. She shoots something at Diana and gets a shield thrown at her. while Diana's training. And I guess, so once she, once that was called out, the director, Patty Jenkins, the director of the Wonder Woman movie, identified her as playing Artemis, who is, in the comics, a leader of a splinter part of the Amazons, and has sometimes been ally and sometimes enemy of Wonder Woman in the past.
Neato.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. And there's a sort of weird, like, you see here Hippolyta, I'm assuming Hippolyta, talk to whoever's training Wonder Woman, say she can't find out what she is or something like that. So that's intriguing.
Yeah. What is she?
Half Amazon, half something, maybe? Who knows? I don't know anything about Wonder Woman, to be entirely honest.
She has an invisible jet. Yeah. And a golden lasso.
Lasso of truth. Which we see a lasso.
Yeah.
That's a fact. I don't know if it's a lasso of truth, though.
Who knows? I have doubts that there will be an invisible jet in this movie.
Thank God. I have hopes that no invisible jet will ever show up.
I don't think it really fits the time period.
I don't think it fits any time period.
Well, that's also true.
Hell, even if fucking Hawkman flew down an invisible jet, I'd be annoyed. And Hawkman, depending on the more modern... A more modern take on his origin is an alien. As opposed to originally his origin, he was like the reincarnation of an Egyptian god.
Interesting.
Khufu, I think. Don't like that. He's better as an alien. Yeah. In my opinion.
Sure.
Anyway, check this trailer out. It's absolutely worth it. It does make the... assuages my worries or shores up my hopes that this movie will be at least, you know, good.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, maybe not great, but good. And that's all we really need right now, yeah. I think.
Something that doesn't just suck. I need
something to be
suck.
Better than fine. Because yeah. The other movies, they're fine, but yeah. Not good. They're fine, not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to one last trailer here. A little happy Pixar in your life.
I always like a little happy Pixar.
And everybody loves some cocoa. So would you like some cocoa?
Is it hot cocoa?
I don't know. It's Hispanic cocoa. So maybe. So
spicy.
Spicy. So Coco is the name of the movie. A new Pixar movie. All right, I guess I should say that when Wonder Woman's coming out, shouldn't I? Should I give that release date? Because I can find it. I don't have it because I rearranged my notes.
I didn't get the Little Mermaid release date because I don't actually 2017. Care. Yeah.
Just 2017, that's all it said on IMDb. So take that. And Wonder Woman comes out June 2nd, 2017. And now, so Coco is this new... this is a teaser trailer. For it. It's a couple of minutes long. It doesn't tell a lot of story, but this kid... apparently is really a fan of, and also probably related to, judging by that picture, this old, what kind of musician would you call him?
Mariachi?
Mariachi type musician. And TV star, apparently.
Yeah.
And then he finds his guitar, and he strums it, and goes to the world of the dead? Question mark?
Yeah.
It's kind of what it looked like. But it's weird, because the movie's called Coco, right? The kid's name, because the blurb is, Coco follows a 12-year-old boy named Miguel who sets off a chain of events relating to a century-old mystery leading to an extraordinary family reunion. So, the kid's name is Miguel.
And his parents are dead.
Ernesto de la Cruz is the musician. There's no person... There's somebody credited as Hector, and somebody credited as Abuelita, which is a grandmother. I think little grandma, well, it's like, so Abuela is technically grandmother, but Abuelita is like a, anything with Ita sort of means small, and it's just a sort of a loving sort of thing in Spanish. So there's no character that's credited. Mind you, there's only four characters on IMDb credited right now, but nobody's named Coco. So I don't know why the movie's named Coco.
Because Coco.
But, you know, it's some Pixar for you. I believe this is the next Pixar film. I don't think there's another Pixar film coming out more recent.
Oh, no, never mind. That's Disney.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to tell now. Disney, Pixar, since, you know, Disney owns Pixar anyway.
My lines are blurred.
Yep. But yeah, this works. This looks, you know, Pixar. Looks good. It's Pixar.
Yeah, Pixar is a good quality.
It's got a dog named Dante in it.
Yep. It does. And the guitar has a cool
skull head piece. Yep. And this movie's set to come out November this year. Huh. November. They should have done November 1st. It's November 22nd is the release date in the U.S. I wonder if anywhere they released it November 1st. 22nd, 23rd, no. Spain gets it on the 30th, and Argentina doesn't get it until December 7th. Because they really, really should have done it the 1st, which is the Day of the Dead. If I recall Spanish correctly.
Maybe.
Which would have made much more sense with the whole, you know, World of the Dead ?
No hablo español.
Good job.
Nueve.
Nine? I don't speak Spanish, nine.
Sí.
but yes, these trailers, all worth a watch. You can find them in our show notes. So now, a couple of quick non-trailer news things. So it seems like Aquaman is waiting for high tide, because they have pushed Aquaman's release date back 2 months. So instead of October 5th, 2018, it's now slated for December 21st, 2018. They didn't give it a reason why they pushed it back, Warner Brothers. But, I mean, it might matter to note that this technically the weekend, the December 21st weekend, was what Avatar 2 was supposed to come out.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote. Which obviously got pushed back.
Yeah. And will continue to be pushed back into eternity.
In perpetuum, yeah. Forever.
So, I mean, it's only, we've got five more to go.
Yeah. It's only 2 months. It's not a big pushback for Aquaman. And honestly, October is a weird time to release a big movie anyway, I think.
It is.
So it's probably better off December. And then more importantly, Venom's back, baby.
Oh boy. I'm worried.
There was a Venom movie on the slate for a while, and then it was off the slate, and now it's back on the slate.
Yeah, because there was also a few other movies on the slate.
Yeah, and then since Amazing Spider-Man wasn't a thing, and then we upped with Marvel, they took all that slate, was gone. But now Sony's Columbia Pictures has set October 5th, 2018, which, hey, by the way, same weekend that Aquaman used to be.
That's funny.
It's not where Venom is. Yeah, it's weird. So, we're not yet sure, because we don't have any real information on this, so we're not yet sure if it's tied into the Spider-Man movie, the Spider-Man Homecoming movie, if this Venom is going to be in the MCU or what.
Or the Spider-Verse.
Or the Spider-Verse, that's true. It could be alternate universe, but still technically canon. Because that's a thing.
Yeah.
They really, I mean, I guess it's probably about time they can start bringing the multiverse in.
No.
To Marvel's. No. Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Nope. 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 Nope.
You're the one who said it. Then they could bring the Exiles. Oh, man. Except they need the mutants for the Exiles.
Mutants are going to be so hard.
So many of the Exiles are mutants. Not all of them, but most of them. Dude, Exiles is a great comic book series. Both Exiles and New Exiles. It's basically a bunch of, mostly mutants, but a bunch of different people from different universes in the multiverse who have to go around fixing problems in the different universes.
Man, that job sucks.
No, I know, but it's an amazing comic book series.
How do they get up in the morning?
I don't know. One of them was the leader in New Exiles. The leader was like a good-ish Sabretooth.
Huh.
Relatively good. Still Sabretooth, but relatively good. And I don't remember who it was. It was, I think, one or two people from regular Marvel Universe. I don't remember who it was, though. It's been years.
Man, that would suck so much.
So, right. So, again, we're not sure how Venom, back to Venom, I'm not sure if it's tied in or how it's tied in. But it is supposedly being written by Scott Rosenberg and Jeff Pinkner, who wrote Amazing Spider-Man 2.
It would be nice to tie it into proper.
Yeah,
Marvel. I think it would fit in there because of the whole symbiote thing and having Spider-Man in on it and stuff.
Yeah, Spider-Man's a thing now, and this movie is coming out next year.
Yeah.
Theoretically. So that's after Spider-Man, so they absolutely could do it.
But, I don't know.
And back, so when this was on this was slated back in 2014 when they first announced, when Sony first announced they wanted to do Venom, it was connected to the Amazing Spider-Man franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And that, which is why it vanished when, you know, Amazing Spider-Man franchise vanished.
But maybe it didn't vanish. Maybe this is going to continue it.
Yeah. And so it was supposed to be directed by Alex Kurtzman, but as of yet, we don't know. Although Screen Rant says that Kurtzman is still on board somehow, but according to other places, he's not. There's no director, according to some places, and some places still has Kurtzman listed. So we're not sure who's directing it.
But, yay.
But writers from Amazing Spider-Man are writing it, so. But I never watched either of them. The Amazing Spider-Mans.
I've seen the first one. The first one was good.
I heard they were okay. The game, the Amazing Spider-Man game, was not that great, unfortunately.
That's too bad. Because those other Spider-Man, man, what was it? Just Spider-Man, I guess?
Back on, like, the PlayStation.
PS2.
PS2, yeah. Where you could just swing around the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they were great.
That was a fantastic game.
There was a couple of good ones for PlayStation 3, but, like, the one I had was Shattered Dimensions. Maybe it was Shattered Dimensions. It was almost all in a building. It was like, you were Spider-Man 2099?
Oh, weird.
Is that what it is? You're Miguel O'Hara? Which is great. I like Spider-Man 2099, whatever. But you were all within, like, a building. And a big-ass building, because it's the future. Big, giant, mega skyscraper, but you're still stuck in a building. And it's like, oh, but I want to swing on the streets. It's the good thing.
It is a good thing. Especially in that PS2 game.
Yeah, so good.
It's weird that they haven't been able to do a good one with that.
For a while. Yeah, no. It's weird. All right, let's get into TV here. It's the first time I have a PSA, everybody. Check for ticks. Because The Tick, with Peter Serafinowicz, the sommelier from John Wick 2, it is officially going to be going to series for Amazon, which is a thing you can do again. I guess it's that time of year again where you can watch and vote, I guess, for the Amazon pilots.
Interesting.
IMDb was telling me that, and I ignored it, and then I was like, wait. Amazon Prime is a thing in Canada now. I can actually do that.
Yeah.
We missed the chance for The Tick, but The Tick is coming to series. So that is good, because The Tick is great. And they've changed the costume, because the old costume looked bad.
No, it looked awesome.
It looked like clay. This one looks more a little plasticky. The Peter Serafinowicz pilot is what I mean by the old one.
Right.
The one in the pilot looked like a bunch of clay put on him, and it looked bad.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about the...
Not the cartoon costume, no.
No, the old live-action
one. Oh, the old live-action one.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
It was real good.
But then the one that's going to series, the Tick costume, is more... It looks more plasticky, which is maybe not optimal, but it's better than weird piles of clay.
This show's been coming forever.
It has. But, it was on... It was a pilot. And then the pilot thing takes forever to do anything. Especially the way Amazon apparently is doing it.
Apparently.
But that's cool. And see, now we've got another thing in our TV. See, I told you I knew I had something else to go in the TV. I just mislabeled.
Yeah.
This one in movies. Probably because it's a trailer. And I was like, oh, we got so many movie trailers.
movie trailer.
But this one's a TV trailer.
TV.
So, Ian McShane is godly in the American Gods trailer. Which is absolutely... worth watching. It shows a lot of the characters. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that trailer, Andrew. That you're going to start watching again with your volume up.
Whoopsie.
Jesus. Amateur.
I just wanted to share with the audience.
You see Ian McShane sort of tear up the scenery, chew up some scenery.
Yeah.
With a couple of his lines there. Shadow Moon looked completely organized, or completely confused all the time.
Yeah.
Kristen Chenoweth with some attitude.
These are all book things. And it looks like one of the gods... that was in the book. He's kind of like the modern god.
Oh, this guy?
No.
Not that guy.
Not that guy.
He's clearly a modern
god. That guy.
Oh, that guy, okay.
In the
smoke rings guy. Got it.
Yeah, the guy who's vaping, clearly vaping. Because this book was like written not in an age of vaping and such. He was just this fat kid who sat in the back of a limo and stuff.
He was like gluttony kind of thing.
Well, not so gluttony, much gluttony,
maybe, but
he was just a nerd.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, you know, just fat nerd. I do internet.
Oh.
So that, I like what they did with this, and they kind of modernized it to be actual modern.
Because he's, yeah, a modern god, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, sure looks good. Trailer looks great. Absolutely, you gotta watch it. Yeah. We don't see any of him in the trailer, though. What's his name? Andrew.
His actor name?
Oh, no, there he is. I guess we do see him for a quick shot. Yeah. Or his character name, but no, I meant it, the actor's name.
I don't remember his character name.
When we talked about the casting for the show, we talked about how we hadn't seen him in forever.
Yeah.
And now I can't remember his name again. Probably because we haven't seen him in forever. Come on. There's your laptop fan. Hello, laptop fan.
Hello, how are laptop you? Fan.
Right, Orlando Jones. That's his name. Orlando Jones. We only see a quick bit of Orlando Jones. There's a lot of people getting cut in half in this trailer.
Yeah.
It's like three. And then somebody gets smashed and a dog with fire eyes. I don't know what... I haven't read the book, so I have no idea.
Buffalo.
Was it a buffalo?
Yeah.
I mean, I just thought it was a giant dog. It didn't really look like a buffalo.
Well, it's a buffalo.
Is it? Is it? Is there a guy on it?
No.
There's no guy on the buffalo?
just a buffalo.
Guy on a buffalo.
Guy on a buffalo.
Good old possum posse. All right, so American Gods is due to begin airing on Starz, which I don't know if we have access to in Canada.
I have no idea. I just assume no.
Probably not.
We don't have access to anything.
But that's supposed to air on April 30th this year, and that's fairly soon.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
It's like next month.
Keep an eye out for those shots of Galt and...
Yeah, the bridge and the store.
Yeah.
The whatever that coffee shop's called.
Wherever
your girlfriend works.
The Grand...
Right, the Grand Cafe, that's it, yep.
I'm not sure what part of the book they were filming there. Like, I was there, and I read the book, and I couldn't... I can't piece together, like, what was happening.
Like a decade ago, they filmed a movie in Galt that where they were from the Boston Marathon. So they had to take down, on right there on that same bridge, they had to take down the CAVC sign that's on the building where the CAVC bank is.
Yeah.
Because they would have kind of given away both modern and Canada.
Yep.
Unlike in the show, the TV show Eureka, where they filmed in Vancouver, and it was supposed to be like Midwestern United States, and every so often they'd be walking down the street of Eureka, and you could see a Home Hardware.
Remember that the Supernatural show with Lady from Stargate Atlantis?
There's a lot of ladies in Stargate Atlantis. And there's at least three.
The Grim Reaper? Nope. Murder Man.
Wow. That's very helpful.
It's got Murder Man.
I don't know who Murder Man is.
And he's played by that other actor who's good, and he was also in Stargate Atlantis.
God, you're terrible.
Jack the Ripper.
Oh, okay. I guess she wasn't Atlantis. I would put Amanda Tapping in SG-1. You're talking about Sanctuary.
Well, she was running Atlantis for a while. So
for a season.
That works out.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, I was about to ask.
Okay, Sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Filmed in Vancouver.
It's filmed in Vancouver. Where was it set?
Good question.
I don't remember them saying anything about
North America.
Yeah.
I believe it was just generic North America, but I don't really remember. It was a good show, though.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Had a lot of Canadians in it. Pretty much everybody but Amanda Tapping, who actually might not be American, was Canadian in that show. I can't spell Sanctuary. S-A-N-C?
Sanctuary.
Is it? Yeah, it is. S-A-N-C. That's a weird-ass word. I don't like that word.
Just because we say it weird.
I don't know, because it's spelled weird. Also, the guy who was Jack the Ripper / John Jorrit, same guy, Christopher Heyerdahl.
Yeah.
Also was Bigfoot in that show. I don't know if you realized that was the same guy.
I did.
Considering their voice was the exact same. He didn't change his voice at all between them. Also, did you realize Ryan Robbins, the guy who plays Henry, who I think is a werewolf or something? Henry's a thing, isn't he?
Yeah.
He was in Warcraft. He was one of... the king's guards there, or one of Lothar's main guards.
Oh, yeah, no, he was too, yeah. He was.
And he's probably dead, because he was with Lothar at the
gate. At the end there.
When the gate closed. Yep.
He's probably dead. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yep. I saw him three times. I was like, hey, it's Ryan Robbins, yeah.
I haven't seen Sanctuary in a long time.
Neither have I. Wait, I looked this up. Just look up, see if Amanda Tapping was Canadian. And are you trying to figure out where it's set?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, see, so Amanda Tapping, who for some odd reason I always consider American, because I think everybody in SG-1 was American, Amanda Tapping was actually born in England and raised in Canada. So she's Canadian, even.
Oh, that's good.
Canadian, and born in Toronto, Robin Dunn, Christopher Heyerdahl's Canadian. I think everybody in that show is Canadian.
Her English accent in the show wasn't so great.
Well, she's only born in England, she's raised in Canada.
No, but it's just funny.
No, but yeah, no, you're right. Her English accent was not the greatest. But also, it was one of those things where, well, she hasn't been to England in a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Abnormal.
Well, that's how we'll get around it. Agam Darshi is definitely Canadian. Emily Ullerup, I believe, is also... Oh, really?
What?
Emily Ullerup, who was only in the first season, she was Magnus. She was Amanda Tapping's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Born in Denmark.
Huh.
She's Danish.
Yeah, this show got weird at points.
That show was weird the whole time.
Yeah, it got real weird at points.
I haven't watched like the last end. Season. I haven't actually watched the last season. Oh. I own it. Eric and I just never got around to watching it. It's one of those things. Usually it's the last couple episodes of a show. Like, it took me about a solid 4 years to watch the last two episodes of Eureka. And at that point, I just had to rewatch the whole last season. How did we get to this?
Vancouver.
How did we get to Vancouver?
Talking about
filmed in Canada?
Canada. Because of masking the setting, and then you didn't have to mask some settings, and then modern, old, yeah.
Huh. Anyway.
Sanctuary is good, guys. Watch it.
and maybe Canadian.
Don't. No, it is very it. Canadian.
It's awesome. It's a great show.
And Canadian. The wiki article did not help with where the setting is. And
I don't think it says. I think it's just generic North America.
Yeah, I think it is just North America.
It's one of those things that's like, yeah, we're generic somewhere in the world.
But it's all it kind of takes place at a weird
like,
time.
Have you ever seen the show Lost Girl?
No.
That's Canadian, too. And that the first season, it was generic North America, but then they kept mentioning, like, Ontario towns and shit that were actually, because they film in Toronto, I think.
Yeah.
So they actually put mentioned places they were near. And so in the later seasons, they're like, okay, yeah, fuck it, we're Toronto. Fuck it, we're set here now, because we've mentioned too many things around Toronto to make it, oh, no, we could be anywhere in North America.
It's funny.
Anyway, so that's our TV news. Oh, also, the quick thing, since we're already just rambling, quick thing I wanted to talk about was Ed Sheeran, you know, the singer?
Yes.
He is cast in the next season of Game of Thrones as a cameo.
Interesting.
Which they've been trying to do for, like, years, because Macy Williams is a big fan. So the showrunners cast him just for Macy Williams.
Huh.
Which is funny. I just thought it was kind of an adorable thing for a show that's very not adorable to do.
Macy Williams. Oh, yeah.
That's Arya.
No, I knew it was Arya.
Okay.
I was just going to say, she just is just adorable. And I'm like, oh, no, not so much in the show.
But not, no, Arya's not so adorable in the post-first season.
Yeah, she's kind of scary now.
Yep. I haven't even seen her in the last, like, two seasons of Game of Thrones where the real scary starts.
Yeah.
But I've read the books. Up to four. I haven't read the fifth one.
She acted pretty good.
Anyway, well, she is determined to learn how to sword fight left-handed because Arya was left-handed. Williams is not left-handed.
She's pretty bad.
But Arya is. Anyway, so that was TV, couple of news points, a lot of rambling.
Yep.
Let's go to games. We have things to talk about that's not all video games. In fact, only half of this stuff is video games.
Ooh.
So first up, we have Pilgrim's Precious. So, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I've never actually read the graphic novels, but apparently they're great. The movie's fantastic.
I have, and they are good.
Edgar Wright directed movie, which we discussed, by we I mean Tom talked about, last night.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Wright directed it. It's a great movie. It had what's his name? Mike Rosera. Canadian. Yep. Fantastic, because that's also written by a Canadian, because it's set in Toronto. For sure. So, since card games and deck building games are big popular thing now.
Yep. Living card games, etc.
Scott Pilgrim's Precious Little Card Game is a thing that is coming out. It is basically you play one of the characters from the Scott Pilgrim universe, and each character has a unique starting deck. And with this game has you have double sided cards, so you come across like problems of growing up / being an adult-ish aged, and you can either decide to deal with your problem like with hard work and empathy, or just quote embrace the unpredictable world of gratuitous video game violence unquote.
Neato.
Depending on which side of the card you choose. So this actually sounds like an interesting game. Double-sided cards, depending on how you want to live your life, quote-unquote. It's kind of interesting. I mean, it's a big blurb. I don't want to read the whole thing.
It's a big blurb that doesn't really say
much. No, it's a big blurb that does not say a lot. It does say at the bottom that it's expected to arrive this summer. And mm-hmm. the expected price is $45, which is a little steep for a deck-building game.
Well, no.
But it depends on how many cards. I mean,
deck-building games are like legendary on that, but this one, it says little, so I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, but I mean, that's in the title.
Yeah.
So we're not sure if it's actually little, like it's just a few cards.
Precious little in the sense that it's precious little.
Yeah, who knows? We'll find out. When we actually see it.
I hope so, because it's $45.
This picture looks big, but the picture's blown up pretty big.
Yeah, with a sweet watermark.
Sweet, sweet watermark right in the middle. I don't know why.
Because why not?
Right. So that's cool. I'm definitely going to check that out when it comes to this summer, because I love Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I really like the art style.
Games are, yeah, no, the art looks great. And PlayStation, speaking of PlayStation games, PlayStation 4 is now. So PlayStation 3 had a Scott Pilgrim beat 'em up that was co-op-able.
Xbox.
Did it come out on the Xbox too?
It did indeed.
It was so good. I actually beat that game by myself. I could never beat it in co-op because you shared lives.
I remember when it came out, it had a bug on the Xbox that hard crashed the system.
Jesus. Wow. That's bad. I don't think we ever had that problem in the PlayStation universe.
Yep. Well,
It came out on PlayStation first, and I think they ported it over to Xbox later. If I remember,
believable.
5 to 7 years ago.
It's probably more than that.
Probably, but I don't want to think about that. Okay.
No, let's just move on.
All right, let's move on and go beyond D&D. So D&D Beyond, they have announced. I did not link to the quote unquote announcement trailer. Which is just like the name panned out, I'm pretty sure, isn't it? It's not a trailer for anything. It's nothing worth watching.
Wizards does this for Magic everything. Too, and all that. It's just stupid.
It is dumb.
It's a waste of internet.
It's a waste of YouTube space.
Yeah, which is probably infinite.
Probably. But so D&D Beyond, it was announced at PAX that WotC, Wizards of the Coast, have teamed with Curse.com. Who are branching out from, just WoW and two other games. This is what I always still tie them with, because I only use Curse for WoW and WoW mods.
They do have
a lot of other stuff, but
tanks and
I still only associate them with like League and tanks, and I don't even play or League and WoW, and I don't even play League. It's just a big thing on their website.
It is. I don't even know what they use it for.
Anyway, so Curse.com, they're going to make the official 5th edition, or D&D Next, or Dungeons & Dragons, as it is technically called by Wizards.
Yep.
Digital tools, if I could say the finally. Word tools. Finally. Well, they've had three separate tries, because there was that thing we signed up for and got the beta for early. Yep.
Which was pretty good.
Before Next even came out. I think.
No.
Or was it just after?
It was after.
Just after?
Yeah.
I guess it wouldn't make sense to be before.
Yeah.
But it was very close around its release date, and that fell through. And then there was a couple other things that they tried and fell through.
They announced and it was coming, but then fell through.
So this one, by the sounds of it, looks more like the old 4th edition digital tools. Why can't I say the word tools?
Because reasons.
It's not even late today. It's a little later than usual, but it's in the afternoon. It's not even evening. Anyway, so this looks more like the old 4th edition ones, so it is much more likely. Plus, they announced it at PAX, and Curse is a company that we all know, as opposed to the other three things, which were small companies we didn't know.
Right.
So.
Yeah, Curse is pretty big. It's got a bunch of weight behind it. And,
and a user base.
And a user base.
Most importantly.
It has revenue.
Yeah.
Staying power.
Absolutely. Which I think is all things that WotC wants in their partner.
WotC needs.
Yeah.
Because, boy, they can't do anything internal.
No. You complaining about the old 4th edition digital tools?
Yeah, it was trash. I mean, it was...
It used Silverlight. What are you talking about? It was great. Silverlight's the feature.
I mean, it was pretty good. I was pretty excited about Silverlight when it came out.
Until it came out?
No, it was good when it came out. It's just later when technology moved on. It got real bad.
So... we don't know. We know it'll cost money, the D&D Beyond, but we don't know the price point yet. From what I saw one of the Curse people say, it'll probably be a subscription like the 4th edition one was to get everything, and it may or may not be an extra subscription to put in homebrew things.
It's a bit pain in the ass.
But you can also, it's sort of like you can also use, if you put homebrew stuff into it, other people can use it by the sound of it. So it gets put on there. It's not just like on your thing. It's now on the whole Beyond by the sound of it, which probably means that it belongs to them. It is actually exactly what that sounds like to me. Yeah, if it's on there, if it's on D&D Beyond and you put your homebrew in, I bet it belongs to them.
Read that.
Read that fine print.
Yeah, that fine print. EULA.
Yeah.
Read that EULA real close.
And use a license agreement if you plan on homebrewing and adding it into the system.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't, even when we homebrewed things in the past, when we use in the 4th edition, we just mark it on your notes somewhere else. Put this thing's close and mark the slight differences on your notes. That's how we used to do it. Because 4th edition, you couldn't do that. You were very stuck in, it was very rigid. 4th edition tools were very rigid. But this is good. 5th edition, digital tools are great. They're moving on with the world because the world does everything digitally. Mm-hmm. And they also said, on top, beyond the subscription, the subscription is for everything. So if you're a DM, you probably want that. But there might be different pay models if you just want to, you're just a fighter, so you just need the stuff for that fighter, so you can keep equipping that two-handed sword or whatever.
Yeah,
you may
be
have a lower pay model if to just access certain race class things.
This could be really great.
So it could be. But again, it depends entirely on the price point, I think.
Yeah.
If it's too high.
I'm not getting excited yet.
No, but it's good that it's happening.
Yes.
But we'll talk about that more later when we get more news about price point and whatnot. All right, I think these next two things are just quick little getting the video games and a quick snaps, I think. So, Mass Effect Andromeda comes out on Tuesday.
I'm excited.
I am preloading it at home right now as we speak. I may or may not have purchased it.
PlayStation?
No,
PC?
PC. I got it on Origin. I probably could have just gotten on Green Man Gaming and waited till Tuesday. And I probably would have got it for $15 cheaper, but I just bought it.
Yeah.
Standard edition, because the digital deluxe editions aren't worth it.
Yeah, it doesn't.
The only thing interesting is the soundtrack, and I'm like, I can get, if I want the soundtrack, I can get that separately later.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I got it. I mean, I have, despite the fact that I've originally played Mass Effect on the PlayStation, I have now played them all on PC. So I just figured, since there's multiplayer, I figured I'd get it on PC.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to get it on still.
And I liked the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. I thought it was quite good.
I might do PC.
You should. No, we can play multiplayer.
That's a good point.
Which is similar, but the combat... Apparently the combat in Mass Effect Andromeda is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But the multiplayer is the exact same sort of system.
I've never played 3
Oh, really? Multiplayer. You didn't play the multiplayer? It's just horde mode.
Yeah,
with four people. Up to four people.
But my brother had the copy, so I didn't have the code that I could attach to my account.
I see your problem.
Yes. EA had extra DRM on top of the fact that they have the disc DRM.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, but I suppose Blizzard did that too. StarCraft. Yeah. With Battle.net, you couldn't log on. You could use it, if we had shared the same StarCraft disc, we could both use it on our computers, but if we were both on Battle.net, we couldn't.
But, this is the only case I can think of a console game that has a special code for multiplayer.
This is a console. It's different. Yeah. So there are people there. Apparently there are some wonky animations some facial animations and some other stuff.
Walking animations.
That are wonky, but
yeah,
and I don't particularly care.
They say that there's some issues with just how the early game plays out. Like, it's a little confusing, and it doesn't really get its legs until a little bit, a few hours in.
I'm not too worried about that.
The reviews are not all negative. It's very mixed, and most of the complaints are about the facial animations
and the wonky animations.
Yeah.
I know, I saw somebody, and I really wanted to jump through the internet and slap them, because of how they put a picture of one of the bad facial animations on one side, and another picture of Ciri from Witcher 3 on the other.
Yeah.
And one was like, the entire BioWare team or whatever, plus a couple of independent Slavs under Ciri. And I was like, yeah, a whole company of people with $81 million.
Yeah, one of the most successful.
Yeah, no, they're just a couple of independent people who I'm sure were the exact same size as the EA team, because it was that whole company was doing The Witcher.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, I was like, you're right, Witcher 3 looks fucking gorgeous, because it was all they focused on, and they spent a lot of time making sure everything was great.
The Witcher 3
a lot of money.
Has such good facial animations, and I'm just like disappointed in everyone else.
Yeah, no, The Witcher 3 set a very high bar, but I really wanted to jump through the internet and slap that person. Because listen, you want to complain because the facial animations in Mass Effect, the ones I've seen, the bad animations, they're bad. They should have been caught, and they should have been fixed prior to release.
Yep.
But
they were already pushed back.
You can't compare it to something like that and be like, oh, these ones are way better, and look, they're an independent company. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It's not for comparison.
No. But man, anyway, it's real good. And
but I hear the story is still very good from people who have EA access, because you could access a few hours. 10 hours of the story plus unlimited multiplayer. So I hear it's still fun. It's still good. It's still worth it. So I bought it. And I'm preloading
it. I'm still going to buy it. It doesn't matter. It's Mass Effect.
Yep.
I am a fanboy, as they say.
Like the reason I bought the Switch and Zelda, because I'm a Nintendo fanboy. And I've recently become an early adopter.
Recently, yeah.
I used to be a wait and see, but I just can't do it anymore. I always wanted to be an early adopter, but it's like, no, wait. Just wait.
I've always been an early adopter until recently, when money
when
and
you
stuff.
have a house to pay for,
yeah.
A car that often is repairs. Well, not often.
It just does. adult life things.
Yeah. But Mass Effect, guys, it's up Tuesday. So expect us to talk about it next week, probably.
Definitely.
And speaking of games that are great, quick little talk about Horizon, which has broken many records. Horizon Zero Dawn, I suppose I can give the full title.
Yes.
Because after talking about Mass Effect, Horizon is a thing in Mass Effect.
It is.
But anyway, Horizon Zero Dawn, which has sold out crazy everywhere and has set a million records in PlayStation, is like the best-selling new series PlayStation has ever had.
But still, its facial animations are sorely lacking when compared to Witcher 3.
Well, Witcher 3, and it looks pretty. And even the faces are good.
Yeah.
His aren't great. The faces aren't as great as the rest of it.
The faces are good. It's the expressions.
Yeah, the expressions that are not great. But, I mean, the setting, the trees and the grass and everything around it look fucking amazing.
It all looks good.
The faces are actually the low point, I think, in the animation of that game.
Yeah, they're just not expressive right.
So we are going to get, I don't remember who it was, the marketing director, I believe, of Guerrilla Games, the people who developed Horizon Zero Dawn, has said they're, you know, well, we're so happy that it's you know, selling well, and it's popular with critics and players alike, and it was a labor of love, blah, 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 blah. Importantly, the development team is already working on DLC, story DLC, to continue, this is only the beginning of Aloy's story, the development team is already working on continuing it or something. So that means there's going to be DLC in the future.
I'm so excited.
We don't have any date or any news about it, but it is story DLC and it will be coming.
This game is huge and it keeps going and there's so much good stuff to it. Like, I get distracted for entire sessions where I just wander around collecting things.
Yeah, what did you say? Your level was like 30, you know, you're level 20 something?
I'm level 34.
34, and your story is level 15? Your main story?
My main story is level 15, and I'm level 34.
Yeah, that happened to another friend of mine who was focused on that. They came back 10 to 15 levels above their main story because they just got caught up side questing.
Yeah, and I keep getting caught up side
questing. It's absolutely worth it.
I've explored the entire map.
The world is fantastic.
It's huge.
And I mean, like, it's storied, and there's stuff to find everywhere, and there's those cool giraffe things.
Yeah. The tall necks.
Tall necks. And it's set somewhere between Utah and Colorado, somewhere on the border.
Yeah. It's really cool.
You can actually find an area up somewhere that in-game that'll basically, if you know Colorado, you're like, oh, hey, this is in Colorado, so I guess that's where this game is.
Also the geography.
Well, the mountains.
The mountains, the desert.
Yeah, that's why I was figuring, even though I haven't gotten to that point, I just figuring, just in the starting zone and a little bit after the starting zone alone, I was like, so, sort of Midwestern, Midwestern United States, eh? Cool.
It's really cool. And the game's just so good. The
game's very good. Although, the melee combat is not how you're supposed to combat.
No.
Just because I tried that early on. I was like, nope, okay, nope.
That's definitely Bush's, the oh no Bush's button.
Bow. Yeah, Bush's bow, sneak up, stab a thing.
It does complement later after you get the bow going. So like you can tie him down.
But you
can knock him down with the bow.
Your melee combat is not your main fight. Yeah. Much like in Zelda, which is sort of surprising. Although actually you can do things in Zelda to make your melee combat more better. Jesus.
Yeah, you can do that in Horizon 2. I'm not sure.
Not high enough though. Yeah.
What kind of payoff it is, because I completely ignored that line of the tree.
I'm not going to when I get back into it. I don't know when, because I might play Mass Effect when Mass Effect comes out, and I still haven't even barely finished Zelda, because open world games, I don't do main quests. Ever.
Yeah, in Horizon, I wanted to platinum this game.
Like, and listed?
And I'm 44% done. And I have so much time in this game, and I'm level 34, and like, I'm trying to do it. It's so hard. It's not that hard.
There's a lot of great distractions.
So much in this game, and it's so distracting. And
distractions that are worth following.
The game is such well designed from a gameplay point of view.
That's fact. And even when I don't particularly like, when given the option for melee combat, I almost always take it. And I usually don't like it when they quote give you the option for it, but it's really kind of useless. Early in this game, it is.
It is.
But even still, I'm like, but doing it the other way, the way they designed the game for, is still really fun and not terrible. Mm-hmm. So I'm not actually upset that this kind of early in the game is melee combat's basically useless unless you're using it to sneak up on things and killing them in one hit.
Yeah, well, yeah, you are early in the game, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty early.
Even the range stuff is useful only to a point.
I can take out Watchers in a single hit, plus Striders. No, I can take Striders in two.
Yeah, but those are chumps.
And the Scavengers, usually, if I can get three good shots off, I think I can take them in three. Maybe four.
I had an issue in my game where I didn't really understand how upgrades and stuff worked, so I just didn't. So I went through so long.
So I just didn't.
I went so long in the game with just the...
How did you get past the starting area?
It was hard.
How did you get past the Corruptor fight? God damn.
Yeah, that was the hardest one. That was when I, you know, went,
Maybe I need to upgrade.
Yeah. The tripwire helped.
Shit. Yeah, but didn't even use the tripwire in that fight, but I should have.
The tripwire is most of the fight for me, because the bow, without any of the elemental damage or special arrows or anything, it's just straight up firing. Anyway. Important note, do that weapon thing.
Make sure you upgrade.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, when a game offers you upgrades and levels, take them.
So anyway. Yeah, there's so many, and you're like, you know, hold so much, and I was just like, I'll figure it out later. Do that.
That's our quick talk about Horizon. I did quotation marks just so everybody knows.
I heard it.
So let's talk about, these are a couple of comics, no books. I forgot to look at the couple websites I found for good book news this week, but I didn't see anything. So, let's start with Every Sith Lord Has First Steps. So, the Darth Vader comic that is presently running is going to stop, or maybe has already stopped, I don't know. But they're going to be relaunching it with a new number one and a new creative team.
Ooh,
so, it'll be written by Charles Soule with art by Giuseppe Camuncoli. I forgot I was going to make you read those names. Until I read them. Because I don't think you could pronounce Giuseppe by looking at it.
No, Giuseppe, I got that one. It's the Camuncoli.
Camuncoli?
Camuncoli.
I guess there are famous Italian people named Giuseppe.
Yeah.
You may recognize it.
I do. That's why. It is a very Italian standard. Hey, Giuseppe.
Hey, Giuseppe. Hey, Giuseppe. You're right. It is kind of a stereotype.
Yeah.
When you're making fun of Italian people. You're right.
So, I'm all over that. That stereotype making fun of people.
So, this new number one is set to come out in June. And I say first steps, because I'll read you the blurb here. So, when Anakin Skywalker fell, both to the pull of the dark side and to the blade of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Are they really blades? I mean, I guess you still call them blades.
Yeah, they're blades.
Lightsaber blades, even though they're not blades. But, I mean, what do we define blades? Maybe we only define blades as metal blades, because we don't have laser blades.
Yes.
Anyway, the blade of Obi-Wan Kenobi. He rose back up, more machine than man. Having lost everything that he once held dear, the one who
was... His legs, his arms...
The one who was prophesied to bring balance to the Force instead chose a darker path. Now, in a story set directly after the events of Star Wars Revenge of the Sith, he must take his first steps into a darker world as Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith. So, this one is set early in Darth Vader's career as a Sith Lord, as opposed to the other one, which is sort of generically before New Hope, I think.
No, it was after.
Is it after New Hope?
Yeah. Pretty much right after the Death Star explodes.
It starts with his ship.
Hmm.
Right.
And he gets a little reprimand from Emperor.
Hmm.
He's like, you did a bad thing, Darth Vader. You're going to be responsible. It's going to be investigation.
So I guess Charles Soule has written Palpatine in the past. So apparently series editor John D. Way is talked about how, you know, Charles Soule has an evil streak that readers might have seen when he wrote Palpatine. So, apparently this will be good.
Palpatine hasn't Darth Vader. Been in much.
Yeah, so I don't know what he means.
I don't either.
But, Andrew, it's more Darth Vader.
You know, and thinking about the whole balance of the Force thing.
Are you going to say two and two?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that's exactly what happened. I don't get why they keep thinking like this is he was supposed to bring balance. He totally did.
Two and two, except there's more than two Jedi.
Yeah.
But there's kind only of. Two Jedi Masters. Obi-Wan's a Master. There's only two Jedi Masters. And two Sith Lords, because, I mean, you can put the Inquisitors on the same level as people like Kanan and Ezra.
Yeah.
Or Ventress. Ventress.
But, you know, they're not technically Sith, and they're not technically Jedi. Well, I guess they kind of are now, but...
Oh, yeah, no. Kanan and Ezra.
You know, it's balanced plus or minus one, depending on the day.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to two and a hell of a lot.
Yes, or, you know, the real thing where, in the end, he balanced the Force. Because even the light side is not the balance of the Force. The Sith are not the balance of the Force. The Jedi that we see in the prequel movies are not the balance of the Force. Somewhere in between is.
Yeah.
You know, like Luke was in the previous expanded universe.
Yeah.
Not quite as stuffy and stuck up as the Jedi, but certainly not a dice head user.
Yeah, but because he just didn't have anything to go off of.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
Jedi are fucking assholes. Hate them. Most of them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, in the end.
Pretty cool. Mace Windu, Samuel L. Jackson, you can't go wrong with that. The Nautilian, he's Phil Lamar. Come on, you can't dislike him.
Yeah, they're a cool Jedi.
Yeah. But overall, as an organization, Obi-Wan's great, Yoda's great, but overall, as an organization, they're assholes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so more Darth Vader. So you excited to wait until this comes into a trade?
I am. The previous trades are good.
Yeah, so this is, as I said, set to come out in June this year, so you're going to have to wait a while for your first trade. You may want to write this one down in your day planner, Andrew. Oh yeah, that's right. Turned around that day planner.
No, because I'm waiting for the trade.
Exactly, so you just have to write it down at some point so you don't forget it.
Oh.
So you see. You remember it exists, because by the time it comes out in trade, you will have forgotten about it.
I've forgotten the day planner. At that point.
That's also probably true. So anyway, let's get on to our last point here that I affectionately titled Black Eyed Sun. Not to be confused with Black Hole Sun.
But it's a song. It's a song.
Not by this band. I don't remember who Black Hole Sun is, but
whoa!
But now I have to know. I know, like that cover. That cover is amazing. Sorry, I'm googling Black Hole Sun because I need to know who it's by. Soundgarden. Anyway, so, but this not Soundgarden at all. So Marvel is teaming up with, quote, popular hip hop group the Black Eyed Peas, but in reality, Will I Am.
Yep.
To create a new original graphic novel called Black Eyed Peas Present Masters of the Sun, The Zombie Chronicles. So it's Black Eyed Peas Present: Masters of the Sun - The Zombie Chronicles, in case you were wondering. The cover is pretty cool. It's like polygony.
Yeah, polygonal.
Polygonal, yeah, that's the word. And he's shooting purple laser beams out of his glasses.
Oh, the Cyclops.
So Master of the Sun was created by Will.i.am, who worked with writers Benjamin Jackendoff and artist Damian Scott.
I think this has been a long time coming.
I don't remember hearing about it, but generally I ignore Will.i.am because I do not like him.
Oh. Okay.
I think he's... I don't know. As we also mentioned yesterday, Apple D and Taboo are better.
That's the other guy. Thank you.
Taboo, yeah. Apple D... and Taboo, I think, are better members. They're better musician members, I think, of that. And it is annoying me that the last two or three, the last couple of albums had them not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
The last few Black Eyed Peas albums, Apple D and Taboo, didn't do shit. Pretty much. And it annoyed me. Because the best songs were always the Apple D songs. Anyway, This is not a music podcast. So, Masters of the Sun stars a hero named Zulu X, who lives in a future version of Los Angeles beset by aliens and zombies.
Mm.
So, that's why the Zombie Chronicles, I guess. And also, Zulu X is a terrible name.
I don't know, I think it's pretty great.
But, Will.i.am has said that they've been working on the original story for years. And partnering with Marvel to bring this book to life is more than a dream come true. So, I mean, I guess it is a long time coming.
I knew it.
I suppose. Although, it says the Black Eyed Peas have studied a new journey. We've been working on this original story for years, so I don't know if it's the Black Eyed Peas have been working together on this story, or Will.i.am and the Marvel people have been working on it for years.
It's Will.i.am.
And then it says something really funny. The Marvel editor-in-chief, Axel Alonso, just says something that I'm not really sure is accurate. Certainly not anymore, but... few artists have done more to embed hip-hop in popular culture than Will.i.am and the Black Eyed Peas. So we are thrilled to present this deeply personal story that speaks directly to hip-hop aficionados, comic book fans, and the intersection of those communities.
Hmm.
Really. I'm not sure how future Los Angeles, beset by aliens and zombies, is deeply personal and speaks directly to people.
I guess we'll find out.
And the thing that I'm not sure is accurate anymore is that Black Eyed Peas have done more to embed hip hop in popular culture.
I mean, I guess earlier.
Yeah, like maybe in the aughts, but like in the 90s and 80s. I mean, in the 90s when they were doing music, the 80s when they weren't doing music, obviously, but in the 90s when they were doing music, not really. They didn't get popular till the aughts, and then in the past 7 years, not so much. They haven't really done much either.
No.
So I'm not sure that one's really accurate anymore.
But, you know. It was, so I suppose it still holds up.
I guess. And this is due out on shelves in July. And this is a graphic novel, so you won't have to wait for it. You know.
That's my favorite.
Once it comes out, it's out, and you can buy it. And I'll probably actually check this out. And I hope the art continues this polygonal thing. I hope the whole comic book is like the cover. Because I really dig it. I'm really digging this cover. Me too.
Maybe.
But I want it to be polygonal. And that would be really hard to do, though, in comic book panels.
Yes, it would be. I would check this out, grab it, sit in chapters, flip through it.
Yeah, flip through it before buy, maybe.
Just read it.
I've never done that. I see people do that all the time. Like, sitting there and reading the book, like, full books. And I'm like, you can't read a full book in the time you're going to sit the chapters. Are you?
Unless you're just really packing in for the long haul.
Like, what? Okay.
Just make note of a bookmark on your phone, come back the next day.
Oh, God. I don't think you could get away with it. I think every day they'd get annoyed at you. Don't you think?
Maybe.
Which reminds me. I need to look to see if Pilot X is on sale in bookstores in Canada. Pilot X is a book written by Tom Merritt, and it sounded awesome. But I was unsure if Inkshares would ship to Canada, so I never backed him on Inkshares, because Inkshares was not a great, did not have great information on that website. I was unsure how it would work in shipping things to Canada.
Yeah, shipping to Canada is always stupid.
And I wanted the physical book, not just the digital book, partially because I don't have anything to read a digital book on except for my phone and or a computer.
Yeah.
Which is not really either optimal.
No, it's okay, but yeah, it's not optimal. Physical book is good.
Yep, I still need to check if it's on sale. Check that out, guys. Pilot X, that's our actual book news of the week. Pilot X is out, like, as of 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's out. It's on sale. If you're American, you can find it in things like Barnes & Noble, which still has some physical stores out there.
I'm sure Chapters can order it in.
Probably. But I've never ordered through Chapters. I've just, like, gone in and picked up a book that was there.
Yeah. It's pretty easy. You just go to the desk and say, hey,
order this. Pilot X by Tom Merritt.
Order this for me, please.
Tom Merritt, he's an author. Published. Not just self-published anymore. As his previous books were all self-published books. Technically, with Inkshares, it's real published. Especially since he got enough backing that, like, the more backing you get, the more they publish it like a real book and get real editors and that kind of stuff.
That's kind
of
cool.
And if you get a certain number of money, they do some ads. Someone's ad stuff for you. It's really kind of a cool thing. So there,
that's pretty smart,
Inkshares, though. Inkshares is an actual publishing company, but the more you make money, the more you have basically pre-orders, the more effort they put into publishing and advertising your book.
That's smart.
Yeah.
I like this.
And it means more of small authors, because if you get a certain amount of money, then maybe they'll only release it digitally or something like that. But it means more independent authors who can't, you know, self-release can do things. I like Inkshares. Anyway. Apparently, this is also a free ad for Inkshares.com.
Yay, thanks for the sponsor.
We're going to be like the Auntie Donna podcast, name drop, yep. who kept doing, one of them kept doing Loot Crate. She's like, oh, I want to be sponsored by Loot Crate. I'm just going to keep saying Loot Crate's great. I'm going to keep doing an ad for them. And then the other two were like, why would they pay us if you're doing it for free? And then a couple weeks ago, they did get the Loot Crate sponsorship.
There's a podcast that did on Maximum Fun. It's called The Greatest Generation.
Okay.
And it's a Star Trek podcast, but they have the best ad.
I understand why they're named that.
Their ad is just like the first bit. They're like, what's the podcast about? And they're like, we're a podcast about beautiful templates. And blah, blah, blah. Or we're a podcast about great healthy snacks shipped directly to your door. They keep going on. They're like, no, but really, we're a podcast about Star Trek.
That's funny.
And it's an amazing podcast ad. I haven't listened to the podcast, but I might, because the ad was beautiful.
Amazing ad. Nice. All right, so that's all we have for this week. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Dud75.
I'm at DUPE3.
You might not want to. When you said PE, it might have been PE3.
PEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEEE.
No E's. There's no E's.
There's no E's.
The 3 is an E.
A D as in Dexter. A U as in Utter. A P as in Prince. And a 3 as in 3 blind mice.
3 blind mice.
Musketeers.
3 blind musketeers?
Musketeers.
That'd be pretty bad. That'd be pretty bad musketeers if they were blind.
I'm certain this exists.
Although, I mean, in Shadow in Hong Kong, there's a Renraku Red Samurai who becomes a ghoul, and ghouls are blind. Technically.
There's also feats and stuff you can get.
Oh, in D&D for blind fighting? And that kind of stuff? That's true. Anyway, so our website is squeaklynews.com, where you can find our show notes, which will have the links to all these beautiful, beautiful trailers that we talked about. All 4 question mark of them.
Including The Little Mermaid. Including
The Little Mermaid. Don't get hype.
Oh, also, you can check out the Power Rangers live marathon on Twitch. We are well out of the Mighty Morphin. We are into the obscure. Not my Power Rangers. Hashtag as
hashtag not all Power Rangers.
Hashtag not my Power Rangers.
That's terrible. These are terrible jokes.
Twitch chat is all about that right now. Oh, God. Because we're so far past them.
It's a terrible joke.
But,
it's bad.
It is, but it's so great.
It's a funny joke, but it's also terrible, considering what it's making fun of. Anyway. Yeah.
I've been watching it, and it's really good. And
Andrew has apparently checked in every time something major happens.
Yeah, I've been really lucky when I check in, because I checked in the Green Ranger shows up, and they convert him from bad to good. And then when he becomes the white...
Isn't it?
Hmm?
Isn't that two separate times? He's bad for a while, isn't he?
Yeah. And then he was good.
And then he's white.
Yeah. And then he's white. But he was a Green Ranger.
Yep.
On the good side. And then...
With his weird dagger flute.
Dagger flute trumpet. I don't remember it.
I thought it was a flute.
It is a flute.
Okay.
He plays it like a flute.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a trumpet. Really? It also has trumpet keys. And I never remembered that from the show when I was younger. But... Yeah, and also he never pilots the thing directly. I never remember
Does
that.
He really? He's just all...
He just does the flute. He stands off the side and he flutes.
It's terrible. Anyway, so yeah, that's a thing if you want to watch Power Rangers Twitch because movie.
Yeah, all up to the movie release.
Website is GreeklyNews.com. Find the show notes there, watch the links. You can email us if you want to get in touch with us that way at feedback@GreeklyNews.com. Or you could leave a comment on the bottom of each individual post on our website. Or you can get in touch with us on Facebook at facebook.com/GreeklyNews. Or we have a Discord server, which we would love for you to join and come chat with us there.
And play games with us. And
play games like Mass Effect Multiplayer. Or... For Honor, or Rocket League, or Heroes, or other games. These are just all the games I've been playing recently. These are the games I listed.
For Honor.
Yeah, I said that one.
I'm just adding it again.
But also Rocket League, Andrew.
Rocket League. I do like Rocket League. Also, what was I playing?
Heroes?
Heroes, yeah.
Probius?
Probius is out.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that. That was this week. Probius launched. He's fun.
I love Probius so much.
I guess that's not really news. I mean, it's kind of news. It's not really news that he released. It's more news when he get announced.
Yeah.
Anyway. Also, we're on iTunes. And if you use iTunes, we would appreciate a rate. Or if you know somebody who uses iTunes, just steal their account. Just be like, yo, let me use your iTunes account. Tell them to just give us a rating and review.
Yeah.
We'd love it. We'd really appreciate it.
It doesn't hurt you any, and it just helps us.
It's a fact. I mean, unless you have some problem with your fingers where typing hurts, then I guess it does hurt you. In which case, I'm not sure how you got a podcast in the first place. Unless, I guess, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm talking to myself into a corner that I just can't get out of. So, with that, I'm going to say thanks for putting up with our shit one more week, and see you next time. What the fuck was that?
I don't know. I tried to say a word, and it stopped.